Locals only, News Talk 1520, KVTA. Joining me in the studio, fresh from the sale-a-thon. Well, it's not really fresh from the sale-a-thon. That was a little while ago. Ventura resident, business owner, Andy Killian. How are you?
Great. Thanks for having me on the air today.
Well, you're welcome. How'd the sale-a-thon go for caregivers?
We did really good, and we really appreciate you having us on the radio last fall. The Tall Ships Association turned out, too, and it was just a great event. We had lots and lots of people, and it was a good fundraiser for caregivers.
That is so awesome. It's great that you guys put that together every year.
Yeah, it's I think that was the 10th year, and it's been going great, and we're just now starting to plan for the 11th year.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. I would imagine it takes a lot of planning to get something like that to put together.
Oh, yeah. We have a playbook that we go by, and as we get closer and closer, the anxiety levels rise and rise, but every year it seems to turn out great.
Now, how does that tie in with your business? Because you do own a business, Anchor's Way, right?
Yeah, that's right. I'm the president of Anchor's Way Marine Centers. We're a boatyard management company. And way back, I think it was 1998, 97, I got involved with caregivers, and I was helping with the golf tournament, which is coming up in March.
Wow.
That's right around the corner.
I got to get people on the phone here.
Yeah, that's coming up real quick. And I don't know, I just got kind of bored with the planning of the golf tournament with the committee. It was doing really well, and I wanted to create a new event that kind of counterbalanced on the calendar the golf tournament. So we came up with a boating event, and it was a natural for the boatyard business to talk to our customers about participating. And we've got a lot of loyal customers that have contributed and participated since the beginning.
Now, going way back, before you were on the ocean, you were a stockbroker.
Uh-huh.
And one day you just kind of went, I've got the opportunity to buy a boat. Is it a boatyard, a shipyard?
A Ventura.
What were you thinking?
I've been boating my whole life, and I worked for Morgan Stanley for 13 years, and I don't know, probably about 2003, 2004, one of my good customers, a local family that owned Anchor's Way for many, many years, the Stanton family, came to me and asked me if I wanted to allow them to retire. And I just, a light bulb went off in my head. I just got so excited. And my wife and I, we went ahead and we bought the boatyard.
Wow.
Yeah, that was 2005.
And that was the inspiration for your brand new book called How to Fail in Business While Trying Really Hard.
Yeah, the title.
Title.
Well, I actually, now that I'm out talking about my story in the book, the title is kind of a misnomer. It's not really how to fail. It's just I created that title to kind of catch people's eye. But really, the book's about operating a small business during a recession. And that's what it's all about.
Well, you know what? Somewhere in here, there's a chart about there's like a business cycle, and now I can't find it. But it's a chart about like declining real estate values and then declining interest rates, and it goes around like a clock. And
yeah,
when is a good time to buy a business? When is a bad time?
There's never a bad time to buy a business. It's just how you approach buying the business that changes, and that's what that chart's really about. You know, in the book, I talk about how, you know, during a business cycle, there are times when credit comes easy and asset values are really high and it's much easier to buy a business, but you're going to pay a higher price. Whereas like right now, credit's harder to come by, prices are down. You can buy businesses for less money now, but you're buying a depressed asset. That's all in the book, and that's kind of what I was alluding to. And the business cycle in the book, all I'm really trying to say is, if you're going to buy a business, make sure you know where you are in the business cycle.
Right. Now, does it help to have good contacts in the business world already, kind of to have helping hands go along
in anything in life? True. But I'd say that the number one thing you can have if you're going to go into small business is confidence in yourself.
Okay.
And that's true to, you know, in any business at any level. If you have good faith in your own ability to accomplish tasks, to solve problems on a daily basis, and you don't like other people telling you what to do, then you're an ideal candidate for a small business.
Now, how do you go about operating a business? When I think of businesses, you think of what is the niche? What is not being done? What is the opportunity? What are somebody looking for? And you kind of take that and say, oh, nobody's doing that in my neighborhood. I'll do that. But you're operating a boatyard at a harbor. Are there other people doing what you do?
Oh, yeah. There's two other companies operating.
How do you... How do you do that? How do you buy, how do you operate a business that's doing something other people are doing? And I'm asking that honestly because I have no clue.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, there's a lot of businesses in our community that have been around a long time. And we all know the names of the businesses, and I don't need to mention them here, but there's great businesses that have been around forever. And that's kind of where I was going with Anchor's Way. It's been around for a long time. It was a great business. It had a lot of goodwill.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a term I use in my book called derived demand, and boatyards kind of fit in that category. Railroads, trash companies, boatyards, these kinds of businesses create their own demand by just existing. And that's kind of why I chose that business, because it ties into another idea, which is pricing power.
Okay.
And pricing power is a business that is in any business that can command a price. I always, when I was a stockbroker, I would talk to clients about, you know, like computer companies, and I'd say, what do you think the most successful computer company in the history of you know, the recent past has been? And obviously now we know it's Apple.
Mm-hmm.
But when I was asking the question back in 1997, Apple was my answer, but people would say Dell because Dell sold a ton of computers.
Right.
But the difference between Dell, let's say, and Apple in my book or what I talk about is just that Apple can command price. And so in any business where you can command a higher price because people perceive it to be a better product, a better service, or any of these things, $5 cup of coffee, you know, these kinds of ideas,
right. This
is what we call pricing power.
When you work with people, especially nowadays, mm-hmm. with the recession, and do you work with them? I mean, because you're talking about commanding price and such like that. Do you?
Yeah, my whole model's out the window with the recession.
I was going to say, are you a really hard nose and you stick to that, or do you?
We still have room to maneuver in our pricing, but because the boating industry, especially on the West Coast, South Coast, Southern California, the boating industry is pretty depressed. Because boats tend to be primarily a discretionary income item. They're not, you know, the Bay Area, Seattle, a little different, more urban, more affluent boaters. East Coast, same up in the Northeast as well as down in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Boating's a little stronger. But it has eroded in the last, since about 08. We've had a pretty big drop in the amount, number of boaters. You know, Channel Islands Harbor, for example, has a pretty high vacancy. Probably about 30% of the slips are vacant right now.
Wow.
People don't really notice it when they drive around there. But, yeah, boating's taken a really big hit recently.
So is that affecting what you're doing right now then?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's in my book. I mean, How to Fail. but I'm not failing, people. I'm actually surviving. But it's kind of a zen thing here. You know, in 09, I took on a second facility in Channel Islands Harbor.
Wow.
In my book, I called it the Double Down. And it was a pretty big move. Did it with no credit, no capital, nothing.
Wow.
And it was pretty aggressive. And one of the things I noticed, like in 2010, my top line was equivalent to my top line in 06. But in 06, I only had 1 yard.
Oh, wow.
So yeah, it's been challenging.
So what do you tell people who come to you and say, you know, I've got this idea or I've been presented with this opportunity? People who are where you were back when you were working at the
Morgan Stanley.
Yeah, Morgan Stanley. What do you say to people? Do you say go for it or do you say, what are you crazy?
I always say go for it. I honestly think, you know, well, it depends on the person, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said earlier, you've got to be able to have confidence in yourself and you want to have to not be told what to do by other people. Those are the key ingredients for a self-employed small business person, an entrepreneur. And my, you know, like when I bought the boatyard in 05, I went to my wife and I said, well, you know, I'd hate to be sitting in my office at Morgan Stanley and, you know, when I'm, you know, 10 or 20 years older going, gosh, I could have done that and I should have done that.
Right.
And that's the big quandary. And in this economy, it's difficult, I think, for a lot of people to make that kind of a choice because of the you know, the conditions that we're operating in. It's a big risk.
Well, it's interesting because also in your book you mention, you know, people who are working for themselves and you break down the hour by hour by hour, and then, you know, it breaks down to, I'm making this much per, you know, but if you flip it around the other way, then, you know, you've got there's the freedom factor and the working your own hours factor, and you've got so it balances out.
Yeah, it's all about your personal freedom. In the book, I also write, it's not much about it in there, but there's a saying the Chinese have. I can't repeat it in Mandarin or anything, but it basically means jumping into the sea, you know, and that means literally jumping off the pier, not knowing how deep the water is, and not knowing if you can swim.
Wow.
And that's the kind of mentality I think that makes great businesses And, you know, obviously for every great business, there's a million failures, but you can't fail without trying.
That's true. That's true. And you learn from your mistakes that way. So where is your book available now?
How to Fail in Business is available. You can just Google How to Fail in Business While Trying Really Hard. It's also at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. I've got a stack of books down at the Bank of Books down on Main Street.
Nice.
Downtown Ventura. They have some on consignment down there, and I also have them at my boatyard.
I was going to say, do you have some down at the harbor then?
Yeah, come on down, have a cup of coffee, and we can talk about small business, and I'll sign a copy for you.
Oh, very cool. Thank you so much. Andy Killian, How to Fail in Business While Trying Really, Really Hard. It's a really good book. Not too hard. No.
Yeah.
There you go. And succeeding very well.
Thank you very much.
There's a lot of good banking tips and a lot of good how-to tips, which is nice. A lot of reality checks in here, too, which is good. So thank you for coming down.
Thanks for having me.